The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
This is a new week. We hope you're having a good send-off today on this Monday. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our treat, our joy to be with you this week. We're looking forward to it. And on Mondays, a lot of times we love to catch up on what Alex and I did over the weekend, and because God is blessed us to be able to share and share with others, and it's always a treat. But before we do that, I want to get this in because sometimes we get so excited about the Word of God and the questions, we forget to make some announcements that are really important. And we're collecting listener stories to be used for our Share-a-thon, which is April the 4th through the 6th. And if you have, you know, a testimony, how you've been inspired as you've listened to American Family Radio, or a story about how it has it helped you in your life in an extraordinary way, or just a regular way helped you in your life, we would love to hear that story, that it might be used before or after Share-a-thon or during Share-a-thon. And you can do that by calling 877-876-8893. And as usual, we always repeat this so that if you missed it the first time, you can get it the second time. The number is 877-876-8893. 876-8893. We would love to hear from you, especially about exploring the Word, because Alex and I hear about what God's done in people's lives as we go from place to place, and people come up and say, hey, listen, I want to tell you what a blessing American Family Radio is, especially exploring the Word. Alex, did you hear that over the weekend over in Arkansas?
I did, Bert, and it's good to be with you, my dear brother, and everyone listening, and it was my privilege. Those will remember Friday, we were coming to you from Spring Hope, Arkansas, just outside of Hope, Arkansas. I'm sorry, Spring Hill, Arkansas, which is outside of Hope, Arkansas, which is near Little Rock, and we had a great weekend there, and just a lot of people at Spring Hill United Methodist, and from they had promoted to all the churches in the region, and there was Methodist and Baptist, and a lot of people that came out, Bert, and a lot of folks that came, and some drove a long, long way. They said, we hear you on Exploring the Word, wanted to meet you in person, and I appreciate all the love and hospitality we got from Arkansas. And these testimonies, do send them in. And Bert, I want you to give that number again. And what we'll do, we record, and it really, we give God the glory. Because Bert and I, reading the Word of God and discussing the truth of Jesus Christ and the Scriptures, I mean, we are just thrilled to do it every day. And I think the two biggest fans of this format are Bert and Alex, you know?
We do. I tell you. The number, by the way, is 877-876-8893. And we would love to hear from you. Alex, I was over in Tishomingo Baptist Church, which is not far from here. I've preached there, and I'll preach there next week as well. I didn't have anywhere to go, and they've asked me to come in and preach during this time. And just had a great, great time. And again, got listeners there, and they talked about how they enjoy you and enjoy exploring the Word and myself, and we're thankful for that. And but I know we were talking a little bit beforehand that one of our favorite authors and pastors in the past, I'd say, few years is Erwin Lutzer, pastor of the great Moody Church. And I understand you got to see him or hear a book about him while you were in Orlando, brother.
We did. Dr. Lutzer was there at National Religious Broadcasters, and he is, you know, he's just one of my favorite scholars, and I'm sure many people listening hear him on the radio. For three decades, he was pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago, and, you know, has a radio show called Running to Win, but he's written a new book, and he gave me his book. He had brought one, I think he gave one to Brother Don Wallman, and he gave me one. It's called, listen to this, folks, Rescuing the Gospel, the Story and Significance of the Reformation. Now, you see, in October of this year, October 31, 2017, see, that's going to be the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And, you know, Bert, that might sound kind of like ancient history or something like that, but Lutzer says in his book, and I read it over the weekend, literally could not put this book down, But, you know, the fact that Martin Luther was very courageous and he began to preach salvation by faith, not works, and, you know, Christ alone paid for our sin. I mean, that caused, you know, maybe the second only to the day of Pentecost, this great awakening in Europe, and you and I are here today because of that. But let me just read something, and folks, I think this will inspire all of us. Lutzer, in his book Rescuing the Gospel, he talks about a lot of the people that during the Reformation were persecuted for their stand for Christ. Some were even executed, one of whom was a man named John Huss, H-U-S, and he was burned at the stake for his translating of the Bible, his stance for Christ, but he wrote a lot of letters, kept a lot of journals, and this is the kind of faith and zeal for God that enabled John Huss to stand against the fiercest of persecution, and we need this kind of thing today. I was just moved by it. Listen to this, Bert. Huss wrote, quote, "O most holy Christ, draw me, weak as I am, after yourself. For if you do not draw us, we cannot follow you. Strengthen my spirit, that it may be willing to follow you." Now listen to this. "Give me a fearless heart, a right faith, a firm hope, a perfect love, that for thy sake I may lay down my life with patience and joy. Amen."
Amen. Go over that list again. Give me what now? Give those again. Those four qualities, I think it were four.
Give me a fearless heart, a right faith, a firm hope, a perfect love, that for thy sake I may lay down my life with patience and joy. Amen. And he wrote that kind of prayer day after day to his friends and in prayer journals. And, you know, we're in a time somewhat similar to 500 years ago, but I will definitely say we need a revival. We need an awakening.
Amen. We do. We're desperate. Really, we're desperate for it, Alex. It's more than, you know, in years past, we'd say, man, we really need it. But honestly, we can say we're desperate for it. Have you noticed most of the time those people that came to Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood, the man's mm-hmm. whose servant was dying, the son is dying, there's some desperation there, wasn't there?
Well, there was. And let me throw a thought out here, folks. And what Bert and I are going to do, we're going to begin today, we're going to look at the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to look at Christ in the book of Ecclesiastes. But I think about this. For every teenager listening right now, and you're a believer, I want you to know you've got a mission field, and it's your school. And you need to pray for your school. You might be a mom, and you've got little ones in the house, and that is your mission field. We've each, if you're a believer, we've got some flock to tend over. I really believe that. Bert and I, we do pastoring and preaching, but we've also got a radio microphone. To God be the glory. And I think if we understand that every Christian, Bert, you remember that little verse we would teach the children, "I'm in the Lord's army, yes,
yeah,
sir.
Man. Amen.
I may never march in the cavalry, you know, shoot the artillery, but I'm in the Lord's army." We really are.
That would be politically incorrect today now, but it's still good, isn't it?
Oh, then I'm going to sing it all the more often.
Amen.
But understand that you've got a flock that you're responsible to pray for and shine the light toward. And when we understand that and we take personal commitment to those around us that need Christ, that's when a revival happens.
Amen. Let's go back one real quick before we get to Ecclesiastes. You saying that you're responsible for what God has given you. You're not responsible for what God has not given you. You remember the guy that got five, the guy that got two, then the guy got one. I think he felt, well, mine won't make any difference. But I say the master thought it would have made a difference had he used it wisely. I want to share with you today, if you're listening, say, well, I don't have a microphone like Alex and Bert. I'm not pastoring like these people. I can't sing. I don't have the money to give. You're to be faithful with what God has given you. God's not going to require you to be faithful with what he has not given you. So all together, we work together for his glory, and that you may know him and that you may make him known. And that's what we want to do. Well, Alex, we got real quickly before we get into the break. Let's introduce Ecclesiastes. It was written by Solomon, but I just want to read one verse, and then you give a little bit. We'll give a little bit of background of Ecclesiastes, but I wanted to read this verse. Matter of fact, it's in chapter 12, verse 11, and we're talking about the thread of redemption or Christ throughout the Bible in every book. Now listen to this. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails. Given, now listen to this, by one shepherd. Okay? Now I just want to share with you, Ecclesiastes, what you see in Ecclesiastes is a life that if it's not filled with obedience to God, which is the Redeemer, it's there. But right here is given by one shepherd. And, you know, again, these little tidbits are little phrases or little words that let us know who the good shepherd is. I just love them hidden away in these books, Alex.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Ecclesiastes always begins, the words of the preacher, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. Sometimes it'll say the words of the teacher. But you remember, even though this is Solomon, of course, Jesus is the master teacher. Jesus is the master preacher. And in Mark chapter 8, Jesus asks the question, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And in other words, it would profit him nothing. It would be a loss. You might be wealthy, you might be notable and famous, but you could have the whole wide world, but if you're not saved, you've lost it all. Really, the theme of Ecclesiastes, or a main theme that rings forth throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, is that life is meaningless if it's only lived for the things of this world.
And the words are vanity. We have already heard it. Matter of fact, the word vanity appears 37 times in these 12 chapters, okay? Yeah. And not, sometimes it's repeated vanity of vanities, but that's two times.
And you know what that word means in Hebrew?
What does it mean?
Air.
Emptiness, nothing but air.
Breath. Vanity, vanity. You know, in other words, this is just a wind and an air and a breath. Even the gold and the substance of this world, as significant as it might be, it's just wind across the prairie without God.
I thought it was emptiness, but that is exactly what it is. You know, I'm going to look for the repeated words and repeated phrases, Alex. That's just part of my, I don't know if
you're good at that,
OCD or what it is in me, but I find it. The word, now listen to this, under the sun appears 29 times, okay?
Oh, wow.
And what he's referring to under the sun is talking about God's world, but sun, under the sun has the idea that the sun is going to examine it, S-U-N. There's going to be the light of day, and it's going to reveal what's really good and full and not air. You catch what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Under the sun. So what you have Solomon doing, it's been handed off to him. He's built the temple. He's done all these things. And you're going to find the things. And this is alliterated, but it was pretty good. He looks at it to see concerning the power, the popularity, the prestige, and the pleasure. And every one of those without God is air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without God, Alex, is anything going to bring true, true meaning to life?
No, it really isn't. You know, over the weekend when I was with the Methodists in Arkansas, I was preaching from 1 John chapter 2. It says, the world and everything in it is passing away, but he who does the will of God abides forever.
Amen. That's the truth. We're exploring the Word here on American Family Radio. Alex McFarland, Burt Harper. We're going to return and we're going to look through some of the book of Ecclesiastes and get the final matter at the end. Stay tuned.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this family, Jeremy and Sharon, and a couple kids, and they're all very healthy, and they did something to save money. They switched from health insurance to MediShare, and then they had a third baby, a little girl named Anya, and she was very sick.
We've had a lot of hospital visits.
A whole week in a children's hospital, CAT scans and blood tests and chemical tests, and I think we saw a dozen doctors. It was all shared.
Yeah, the bills were shared by the other members of MediShare. That's how this works. So get this, they save hundreds a month. They don't have to deal with health insurance companies or government health care plans, and they get to be part of a community that cares.
MediShare has always been there for us and helped meet the needs that we have as a family.
It's no wonder this is growing so fast. It is worth looking into. Here's how. Call 855-PSALM-23. Now, it's available everywhere but Montana, 855-PSALM-23.
Hebrews chapter 5 talks about immature believers who still need spiritual milk because they're not ready for solid food. Dr. Tony Evans says there are certain characteristics of Christians on that kind of diet. He'll tell us what the author of Hebrews says about them today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
A milk Christian, he says, is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. What does he mean? A milk Christian is a Christian who does not and has not developed the habit of going to the Word to answer the issues of life. It's not their habit to appeal to the Word to address life's realities. Milk Christians go to their friends first. They look at what the secular world has to say first because they're not used to it. They haven't developed the habit of appealing to what God has to say to address the realities of life. It says they're not used to using it, and so they stay on milk. It says they're not accustomed to using it. It does not say they're not accustomed to hearing it. You get these newborn babies, and they be regurgitating a lot. Milk be running all down the side of their mouths and all that. Because sometimes they don't keep it. After the service today, I'm going to take a cloth out to the parking lot so I can wipe the mouths of those who've regurgitated the sermon before they've ever left the property. Because if you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
Learn how to move on toward maturity by understanding the big picture of your faith. Check out Tony's CD series, The Eternal Perspective, available online at tonyevans.org. And then be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, Heritage Foundation Senior Legal Analyst Hans von Spakovsky breaks down what we need to know about Trump, Obama, and the questions about Russia's involvement in our election. Plus, Reverend Ben Johnson and anchor reporter Chris Woodward return for a very special edition of Beat the Press. So join us for Nothing But Truth this afternoon at 5 Central on AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk, studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me, I've opened up your word to free me, I want to hear you now.
Welcome back. This is Bert Harper, Alex McFarland on Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio. We're glad you're tuned in, whether you're at your desk, in your car, in your truck. Farming is about to start, so some of them may be in their tractors, but we're glad to have you wherever you are listening today, or you may be listening the rebroadcast of this early in the morning. It rebroadcast over in your time, 4 o'clock in the morning. Ours is 3 o'clock. And so we get broadcast again. So if you miss it, you can get up early and catch it, Alex. Once in a while because you come and leave early and fly out. You catch that early flight. You listen to it, don't you?
I do. Listen, when I've driven from Tupelo to Memphis at about 3:45 in the morning, I've heard us on the radio. And that's kind of surreal driving up the road at that hour in the morning when I'm barely awake. But I met a man over the weekend in Arkansas who's a farmer, and he's got an enclosed tractor, one of these big fancy tractors. And he said he listens to us on his radio in his tractor.
Yeah.
But hey, before we get back into Ecclesiastes, I do want to remind everybody that on Sunday night, March 26, Bert and I are going to be in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We're going to be at Britton, B-R-I-T-T-O-N, Britton Baptist. Rick Belichick. And that's just going to be phenomenal, and we'll keep you posted on that. But for all of our dear Oklahoma City friends, we look forward to seeing you at the end of this month.
We do. I'll be preaching that morning at Britton Baptist Church. That night, we'll have our rally. We want all the churches to come that night, and Alex and I will both be sharing. And if we have time, Alex loves to do Q&A. And I love to do Q&A with Alex. And then you're going to be preaching Monday through Wednesday. You're going to finish the week out. So, listen, this is your opportunity, and we're looking forward to that. Oklahoma City. And it's hard to say that without saying Oklahoma. Oklahoma. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to try to get over that before I get out there because I know they'll make fun of me. But anyway, I hope you'll join us there. We're looking forward to it. Alex, let's bring us back into Ecclesiastes, and we're just going to hit one or two of these. Now, this one is the one that kind of intrigues me because the book of Proverbs talks about wisdom, and that wisdom comes from God, and honestly, Jesus is that wisdom. But here, it's a different kind of wisdom, so I'm going to read just one verse. You can read all of chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, and you'll get the whole meaning. But verse 17 kind of wraps it up about wisdom here, and it says, I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also was grasping for the wind. When you said that about vanity and then the grasping for the wind, I thought, okay, that's the tie-in that we're talking about, vanity. But notice, to know wisdom, is there worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, Alex?
Oh, yes. There's worldly wisdom, quote-unquote, that, you know, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, the end thereof is the ways of death. But I think true wisdom, as we saw in the book of Proverbs, which also Solomon wrote, most of Proverbs anyway, King Lemuel wrote a few, but true wisdom is to see life from God's perspective and to be able to live your life in light of God's truth. Now, you'll recall in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is really personified. Wisdom cries out day to day and says, who's going to be wise enough to listen? And we talked about how really Jesus Christ is wisdom incarnate. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, the teacher, Solomon, he says, well, you know what, I'm going to go after wealth, and I'm going to go after pleasure, and then I'm going to go after learning. You know, maybe if I learn a whole bunch of college degrees. And, you know, in chapter 2, wisdom, true godly wisdom, is more than all this folly. Verse 17, Bert, of chapter 2, he says, so I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after the wind. Now, before we kind of tie a bow on that, Bert, have you ever met anybody who's gotten everything they ever wanted?
I think I have. They're a
miserable person.
Yeah, they are. There's something about striving. Okay.
Yeah.
There's something about having to work. There is the work ethic. I believe work was a part of the Garden of Eden. Work was not part of the curse. The sweat of the brow with difficulty was part of the curse, but work was not part of that, Alex. Working for your grades, working for your position, working for, you know, your spouse, to, you know, honeydews around the house.
Yeah.
Those, honestly, done under the power of God brings great pleasure, don't they?
Well, it really does. It really does. And, you know, let me say this. I give God the glory. It's been my joy and what an honor to write a few books. Had one come out last week. And I have a lot of people who come up and they want to write. And I'll tell you, you know, if you want to be a Christian writer, there's a lot to it. There's more than just putting some words on paper. And you got to want it. And whether it's I want to write a book, or I want to get close to God, or I want to read the Bible through cover to cover, or I want to build a great family. You know, I took a picture Thursday night at NRB, and I mean this with all my heart. I took a picture of Dr. Don and Tim Wildman, and there's Wesley and Walker and Tamara, and everybody's there. And I said to myself, Bert, that is one of America's great Christian families. And it is. But Bert, anything that you're going to do that's worthwhile, and Solomon found this out, and God gives you the strength to do it, you've got to want it. And you've got to be willing to sacrifice and be in it for the long pull. Am I right?
You are right. And, you know, it's talking about the man who puts his hand to the plow and then turns back, is not worthy. You've got to have a vision, okay? In your work, have a vision. That vision should always bring God glory. And I don't downplay that, and I don't apologize. And it's more than words. It is true. that we could do what God says at the end of our lives and we appear before Him, He could say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Yes.
And the key word there, talking about Brother Don and his faithfulness, is faithfulness. I think we've got to conclude, we've got to get to chapter 12, but I think people here would wonder, why did you not talk about chapter 3? And, you know, everything there is a season. I'm not certain, you know, let me just read it real quickly. You make some comments on it, and then we really do want to get to the conclusion of the matter, don't we? Okay, chapter 3, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? Alex, again, I know it's poetic, but I, you know, get to the bottom line of this.
I think the bottom line, you know, life has all of its seasons. There's mountaintops and valleys, but look at verse 17. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every purpose and for every work. And let me say, friends, there's a time to be saved. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. And so I think the summary of chapter 3 is, throughout all of life's seasons, prepare yourself to meet God, because you will.
You will. And I just, in the season you are, we talk about seasons of life. Whether you're in the empty nest, whether you're starting out, or whether you're single, whatever your season of life is, it is the time of that God can bring fruit. When you think about seasons, you think of planting, you think of you know, harvest, you think of all those things. It's a season. And in that season, there's always God's purpose for using you. And you want to be faithful in that. And so whatever season of life you're in, whatever you're going through, you may be going through the most difficult time of your life. And we live in a fallen world, Alex, so every believer is going to go through difficulty. We live in a fallen world. Everybody says, why does bad things happen? We live in a fallen world. And so we're going to have these things. But in those things, we trust Him. I want to ask one question. Have you found anywhere else to go in your difficulties, in your life? Is there any better place than going to God?
I know. Oh, there's no better place. You know, Peter had it right. Jesus asked, will you go away too? Peter said, Lord, where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And, you know, those who don't have Christ, I just don't know how they make it, Bert.
I don't either. Let's get to chapter 12, because we don't want to miss it. Chapter 12 is the climax. He's done all this. And let's make sure, I think this is true, and Alex, I think I've heard you say it. Solomon had built the temple. He had done right. But then, I don't know if his midlife, but somewhere his heart was turned. We know because he took on too many wives. He disobeyed God in that. And the effect was great, and his heart was turned away. Ecclesiastes seemed to be written in the latter part of his life. And I believe he is brought back to God. He is restored. He is renewed. And then chapter 12, we find the climax of that renewal. And I'm just going to read a verse or two. I'm going to read verse 1 for sure, okay? Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, listen, do you have to sow your wild oats, or can a young man and a young woman start with God and stay with God, Alex?
Stay with God. Hey, you know what? I had a youth pastor tell me one time. He said, I have a dull testimony. He said, I came to Christ at a young age, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, and I never was you know, a drinker, never was in the gutter. And he said, I guess I've got a dull testimony. And I said, oh, my goodness, no. You know, really, and I know we hear the sensational testimonies of somebody that perhaps they were in prison or something and they found Christ. Praise the Lord. But, Bert, how much better it is to come to Christ at a young age, seek the Lord early while he may be found, and don't have the baggage that goes, you know, the lost years. Don't sow wild oats, and you won't have to cope with the negative crop they might bring.
Amen. Let me share this with you. I was talking, matter of fact, as a board member of AFR, and we were talking about some things, and we were talking about people talk about, oh, your kids in the college experience. And he and I were talking, what are they talking about, the college experience? College is for learning. College yeah. is for preparing. It's not to go and sow your wild oats. And so I'm just, those young people that are listening to in the car on their way back from home, make your commitment just like Daniel did early. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the world. Just let's put it that way. You need to do that, and you need to do it now. Now, Amen. let's come to verses 11, 12, 13, and 14. I want to read those, and we've got about 3 minutes to finish up, but we want to look at the conclusion, and you make the comment. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of the scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. That is some conclusion, isn't it, brother?
Well, it is. It is. God sees, God knows, and yes, God will judge. Back in Ecclesiastes 3:17, the teacher said, you know, God will judge the righteous and the unrighteous. That was a recognition, but it's also a hope. Let me say this, and of course, you know, we don't want anybody lost and going to hell. However, it is a great hope of the church that there is a holy God, a just God, that ultimately is going to iron out all the wrinkles of history. I'm glad there will be a day when unrighteousness is put away. You know, it's been said that we're saved from sin. We're saved from the penalty of sin. One day we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin.
Amen.
Isn't
Amen.
That great?
That's going to be great. One thing, and the word that it always gets my attention is duty, okay? I remember a speech by Robert E. Lee, and he was talking about duty is the most sublime word in all the world. You know, he was speaking as a soldier. This is my duty. To come to Christ, you come by grace through faith. I know that. But after you've come to Christ, after you have said, I'm a follower of Christ, I want to tell you, the duty does come. The duty of serving God. Your salvation is secure, yes. But we have a duty, and that's, I think this is exactly what Solomon is trying to get across. Listen, I think he went away from his duty. I believe he was right with God, swayed away, and now he's come back, and he said, man, I should have stayed with him. That was my duty.
Well, exactly. It is the duty to turn to Christ, to recognize that we're sinners and we need to turn to Christ. Ecclesiastes 12:12-13, you know, it says, of the making of many books, there's no end. Much study is weariness of the flesh. Here is the conclusion of the matter, verse 13, or the summation, literally. Fear God and keep his commandments. Okay, the word fear means reverence. Humble yourself, worship God, turn to him to be saved. Bert, you could have all the degrees in the world, but if you...
We'll be right back.
How important is prayer in the matter of revival? The prophet Hosea said, it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Back in the 1970s, God moved powerfully at Liberty College in Lynchburg, Virginia. In response to a group of people praying off campus, God moved in a mighty way on campus. Students began to weep as sin was publicly confessed and repented of. Teachers discontinued their classes because of the conviction of God's Spirit in their own hearts. The entire university came together saying, we must seek the Lord. and 4 short days, over 400 students came to faith in Christ. Could it happen again? Yes, but it starts with God's people praying. This is Byron Paulus, CEO of Life Action Ministries, for OneCry.com.
Is God calling you to pursue theological graduate education? What's keeping you from taking the first step? Is it time? What if you could choose from flexible class options? Is it money? What if competitively priced seminary offered academic scholarships? Do you think you're alone? What if your classmates were just like you, balancing careers and families with seminary? Hello, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Take the first step. Visit wbs.edu.
Nothing but truth. It's Crane Durham's Corner of the World, where hard-hitting questions are asked.
People are going to be looking for answers.
And he's heard here, only on American Family Radio.
America needs to be restored to our fundamental foundation, which benefits us all.
From economics and national security to life and marriage, you'll hear the top stories of the day. Experience nothing but truth for yourself. Weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
The Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be.
Some of you have this number memorized because we didn't give it, but you have called in. We're proud of you and we're thankful for you. Sometimes we don't allow enough time in our exuberance to get the word out to give the number. But let me give it now, even for those that have called, and but some of you that want to call. We have our phone lines open. We do have lines open. That is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. So we've got people already. They knew what the number was, Alex. So let's go to the phone lines, brother. Let's go to Texas and talk to Bobby. Bobby, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Bert, Alex, I love you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening, Bobby.
Thank you, brother.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You guys are so encouraging. And I love the way you lay the hay down. I just wanted to encourage listening today. I'm working in Austin, and I don't have time to don't get the radio station there. But the thing that I wanted to say was this, that since Christ, the man that came to Christ at 5 years old, I was 45, and I'm so ashamed. I'm just so ashamed. I wasted 45 years of life not serving our Lord. So that man needs to know that, and that's a great encouragement to come to Christ at 5 years old. So I, since then, have decided I'm going to build a life that I don't need to take a vacation from. So,
okay.
And then I do have a question.
Well, Bobby, save your question, and Brent's going to hold it. If you miss our program or get part of it, you can go to the podcast, AFR, and you can look at it and go to Exploring the Word and look at podcast. Brent usually, sometimes he doesn't do it to the next day simply because he's busy before he gets off. But we have the podcast there that you can go to. And I just want you to know that, Bobby. So go ahead with your question, brother. I wanted to make sure people knew that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I didn't know that. I'm not real computer savvy either. But anyway, I'm into my third book. I'm in my third trip through the Bible. And I've asked a couple of gentlemen that are much wiser and older than I about how they read the Bible. And I've had some gentlemen say that, you know, they go to the Old Testament, read a chapter, then they skip to Proverbs and read a couple of things for encouragement. And do you have a specific way that you would read the Bible to make it more enjoyable? Because Leviticus and Numbers just drive me nuts trying to pronounce some of them names.
Hey, brother, listen, you're not the only one that struggles through Leviticus and Numbers. They're there, but struggle. Alex, let me just share a thought here with Bobby. One is, there's two books that I would say get down and read and just read. The book of Genesis needs to be read. I'm telling you, Bobby, it is so important. And the gospel that read a proverb a day and maybe a psalm a day. Read the book of John. Get John down in your heart and your mind. And I believe those two books, read them. And Alex, I believe in cross-reading. You know, read some Old Testament, read some of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. I think it gives a little bit of the rest of the story. You know what I mean?
Right. God bless you, brother. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. And, you know, we've often said this, and I have done this several times in my life. Read three chapters a day and five on Sunday, and you'll read the Bible in a year. And I've done that three times. But, I skip around. I try every day to read some Old Testament and some New Testament. And, you know, so frequently I'm working on a study or something. Whenever I'm going to do a sermon series, I try to read the whole book. Like if I'm going to preach two or three sermons out of Isaiah, well, I'll read the whole book of Isaiah. But if I could mention some that are just a real key, you mentioned Genesis. I also encourage people to read Isaiah. And, you know, Bert, you're right. If the Numbers and Leviticus, some of the deep, deep Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, don't feel bad if that's a little bit of tough sledding, because it is, isn't it, Bert?
It is.
So much of it about
Don't let guilt take over you and you give it up. Satan wants fear and guilt. Two of his greatest weapons is guilt and fear. And people say, I can't read that. There must be something wrong with me. If you have trouble in Leviticus, go to John. Go to a psalm. Go to a proverb. And God's word will speak to you. Bobby, I got one more thing, then we're going to go to Kelly in Texas. You was talking about 45 years of age. This Sunday on the radio program that I do on the weekend called Exploring Missions, which is right before Alex's program, Sunday afternoons is at 1 o'clock and 1:30 is Alex Central Time. I'm going to interview a guy that works here at AFR, and he was saved at 40 years of age. And you're going to hear, Bobby, I hope you'll take time to read that. It'll encourage you to see that God, he brought, yes, everybody would love to come to Christ early, but praise God, you can make the most of when you come to God. So, Bobby, stay in there. Keep trucking.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready for the next call, Alex?
And you know what? I just thought of a show we need to do. We're not going to do it now, but sometime you and I need to do a show on the top 10. I mean, if you can only read 10 books, I hope you read the whole Bible, but the top 10, and okay. I've already made the list, so
okay.
We'll have to record
record that. Let's go to Texas and talk to Kelly. Kelly, welcome.
Hey, I just want to thank y'all for your show. Y'all do amazing work explaining the Bible, making it easy for everyone to understand.
Thank you, Kelly.
God bless you. So my question is, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells the disciples that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain here forever. Is when he says heaven and earth will pass away, is he talking about like the earth we're standing on and the heaven as in the sky above us? Or is he like giving like a pre-revelation to where in the book of Revelation it talks about, you know, the old earth and the old heaven will pass away and a new one will be created?
Okay, I believe they're connected, Callie. I really do. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, I think so. You know, back there in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away, and the earth, the elements will melt with a fervent heat. And I think that's what it's talking about. This present world is going to pass away, but the Word of God is eternal and will stand.
Amen. It really will. And we're thankful for
that.
What
do you think, Bert?
The new heavens and the new earth, it's going to come down. It's going to be anything that sin has touched like that will be destroyed. Okay? And God's going to bring it a new heaven and a new earth. I agree. I think it's this heaven and earth will pass away. But God's Word, I want to concentrate on that. God's Word will not. It is sure, it is bound, and it's eternal. It is settled in heaven. Listen, that's the best news ever. Amen. Let's go to Stay in Texas and talk to Stacy. Stacy, welcome.
Hi.
Yes, welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm interested in a parable about the hidden treasure and the one who sold everything in order to get the treasure. With great joy, he sold everything. I've heard that explained two different ways, and I'd like to know how y'all interpret that.
Okay. Alex, is it talking about the value of what we have in Christ?
Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure, is this the one, I think it's in Matthew, where it says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and the man sold everything he had so he could buy that field? Is that the one she's referring to, Bert?
Yes. That's it. That's it, Alex.
Yeah. And by the way, thanks for listening. You know, I put it this way. Anything you give up to attain Jesus Christ and eternal life with him is worth it.
Amen. It can't be bought. We're not talking about buying. We're talking about the worth. Okay? Right. Keep that in mind,
right,
Stacy.
Exactly.
If you can't buy salvation, it's not. Go ahead.
But you're right. You can't buy salvation. But when you come to Christ and when you seriously give yourself to the Lord Jesus, very often there is a cost. Sometimes the cost is some friends that don't want to hang with you anymore because you're walking with the Lord now. And sometimes, I mean, in certain parts of the world, it could be your job or your livelihood or even your life. Sometimes it's the death of a dream or a long-cherished agenda. But whatever the cost you pay to move from where you are to a full embrace of Jesus, it's worth it, isn't it, Bert?
It is worth. He is the pearl of great price. He is the hidden treasure. He is it. And following him in this world, you're going to have tribulation. What shall it gain a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That is what you do. You don't go away like the rich young man did, rich fool. When Jesus told him what was between him and God, it says he went away sad. And so that's the worth of Christ. Giving it all up, yes, but come to Christ. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Andre. Andre, welcome.
Good afternoon. How you gentlemen doing?
Doing good today.
I've been in correspondence with a gentleman who claims to be an apostle, and he's of the notion that the Bible is outdated and the Holy Spirit is speaking new revelations to his apostles that cannot even be found in the Bible. Have y'all heard of that before?
Oh, yes, Andre. Listen, we want to be careful with the words, but apostolic, those that are continuing to say that it's apostolic succession, there is no evidence whatsoever in the Bible concerning that, is there, Alex?
No, there isn't. And in fact, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul kind of gives a definition that an apostle is one who has seen the Lord, one who has seen the risen Christ. Now, if you're a believer, we're all disciples, but I'm not an apostle. I've not seen the risen Jesus yet. I'm going to one day, praise God. But let me just say, too, though, if there's two litmus tests for authenticity for a teacher. One is 1 John 2:22. You've got to admit that Jesus is the Son of God. And 1 John 2:22 says the one who denies that Jesus is the unique Son of God has the spirit of Antichrist. But the other deal breaker, the other litmus test, is the Word of God. And my dear friend, I would urge you not to sit under the teaching of anybody who says the Bible is outdated and I'm going to give you some new revelation. Be careful, because clearly the canon of Scripture is completed, and we don't add to and we don't take away.
Amen. Let me talk about apostleship. Yes, if you look at it strictly from the Bible, he gave some apostles in Ephesians. He gave them. They started the church. They moved out. But if no one replaces them, okay, biblical. But if you're looking for a comparison to the work that the apostles did in our day, they're not apostles. The word apostle is not, the real meaning's not as grand. It means sent one, okay? Mm-hmm. Sent one. Apostle sounds grandiose and awesome, but sent one, just one that is sent from God. You're looking at missionaries that are called to go to these countries, and especially with those that are unreached, the unreached people groups. And no one replaces the apostle. Don't get me wrong. That's what I mean. But missionaries, I want to tell you, they have the hand of God on them to go to these countries, especially those with unreached people groups, and they're carrying out what God started through the apostles of carrying the message of Jesus throughout the world. Alex, I hope I made that plain.
Could you
clarify it a little bit if I didn't?
Well, you know the word witness, because we're to be a witness for Christ, and somebody will say, you know, so-and-so is the witness to the, you know, Philippines or whatever. But, you know, the word witness literally means martyr.
Yeah.
And we all can lay down our lives for the gospel. But the way I understand it, you know, the apostles, I believe John was the last of the apostles, you know, on the Isle of Patmos. So I'm always a little leery when somebody presents himself as an apostle, because I'm thinking, okay, have you really? You've seen the risen Jesus in person? I just find that hard to believe.
I would too. We're going to try to get one quick call in, and it's to Mississippi, and it's to John. John, welcome.
Oh, thank you, fellas. Enjoy your show.
Thank you, brother.
Real quick question for each of you. Buck, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before that, on your Exploring Mission show, you talked to a Dr. Kyle Martin.
Yes, sir.
About missions and revivals.
Yes.
And I caught the tail end of it with my daughters. And we thought it was one of the most interesting interviews we'd listened to. Is there any way that's recorded? Is there a podcast of that, or some way we can go back and listen to that?
Okay, I'll tell you what, Brent's getting that down. I'm not sure it's podcast. We don't do those. We've been going to start that, and I don't know if we've got to it. But, brother, email me, bharper@afa.net, and if I can't get the podcast to you, we will get that information to you, brother.
That would be great.
That would be great.
And Alex.
Yes, sir.
Alex, I read something. When you guys mention books, almost always go get them because there's such great references and great recommendations. I heard something about a book called Rescuing the Gospel.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that book?
God bless you. Yes, it's a brand new book by Erwin Lutzer, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, Lutzer. And it's the story of the Reformation and what it means for us today. Literally just came out. He gave me a copy, and I read it in two afternoons. And so it's quite powerful, and it's very, very, very inspiring, as all of Dr. Lutzer's books are.
Thank you, John, and thank you for listening, and we appreciate it. Listen, Alex, this would be a kind of a boring show if it wasn't for our listeners, wouldn't it?
Oh, man. Hey, folks, we love you. We love you. But more importantly, God loves you.
He does, and he has a great plan for your life, and it's a plan with purpose. Didn't say it'd be easy, but it's a great plan. Alex, we're going to be on tomorrow. Looking forward to it, brother.
Indeed, folks. Tell everybody about Exploring the Word, but even more importantly, Bert, what do we do?
We need to tell everybody that you come in contact with about Jesus and his saving grace, because he can make a difference in your life.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.